Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode of Wrestle Ramble is sponsored by our very own Almanac. The Wrestle Talk Almanac is back and bigger than ever and is the must-have guide to wrestling in 2019. Where else will you find who won all of wrestling's most important tournaments, discover the real names of over 1,000 wrestlers, and see the star ratings for literally thousands of matches? There's also coverage of over 250 shows from around the world, with star ratings, reviews, match times, outcomes, and attendance figures, which will likely be inflated on Eric Bischoff and Bruce Pritchard's podcasts. Not only that, but our boffins here at WrestleTalk HQ have put together win-loss statistics for every wrestler from every major promotion. So now you can be that annoying stat guy at your wrestling parties. Or maybe you can find yourself a time machine and give a copy of it to your past self so they can place a few bets and then buy a casino. I'm obviously joking, I'm not condoning betting, it's a Back to the Future Part 2 joke. Finally, the first 100 purchases will get a hand-signed photo of Ollie and myself, which I guess some people might think is a good thing. So what are you waiting for? Order it now by using the links in the podcast description or go to wrestletalk.bigcartel.com. That's wrestletalk.bigcartel.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis on a Saturday show. What? And I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, SMAF Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis, on this Saturday show. How the devil are you?
Slightly hungover.
Oh, mate.
It's a weird one. I woke up hungover, it went away, and then it comes back for a five-minute period every 45 minutes.
Is that why you got a bit low energy towards the end of this record?
Oh, did you notice?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Ah. Particularly when you were doing your outro to the video as well.
I thought I covered by just shouting louder.
No.
Sometimes, if you watch the video version of this, I am dead behind the eyes occasionally.
Does that mean you've got no big plans for the weekend?
Oh, I've got big plans. God, it's just one of those... You know, they're all lovely things. Holidays, going away, friends' weddings. This weekend, it's my lady partner's mum's 60th birthday. You know, but I just want it all to stop.
Yeah.
I just want just a day. Just a day where I can sit on a sofa and have a fan on me. Mm-hmm. So it's cool. And just watch nonsense. So not even anything I can commit to, like Stranger Things or Killing Eve. I really enjoyed those Korean soap operas when I was in Santorini. Mm-hmm. That's what I want.
Yeah, we haven't talked about these Korean soap operas.
Oh, my God.
Tell me about them.
They're bonkers. Because I used to work for a station that transmitted, I think it was called Telemundo, which is a Spanish language channel of Brazilian soap operas, mm-hmm. I think. Yeah, and they're just so overwrought. But they're very much of that. Sort of the ones that are mocked on The Simpsons and in American pop culture stuff. Yeah. Those sorts of ones. The Korean stuff, from what I saw, is very similar and also very overwrought, but has dream sequences. So you know just like how most of Asian stuff has weird bits where they just have, you know, flights of fancy. They have all that nonsense.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's just bewildering to watch. And occasionally when people speak, emojis will flash up on the screen.
Nice.
Just to tell me how I should be feeling. Yep. Or if I've misread an emotion. Oh no, it's the crying with laughter face emotion, not the weeping with sadness one.
Yeah, I'm really excited when I go to Japan later this year to kind of experience Japanese TV, because I think I've only ever seen it either parodied. No, pretty much I've only ever just seen it parodied, or where they, like, you know, do it on a Western clip show where they're like, look how crazy Japan is. But, like, from what I can gather from people who have been to Japan, like, they're in on the joke. They're not like, we're putting out they're not like putting out wacky TV but not realizing it's wacky. That they know it's wacky and they're making it wacky on purpose. But we as Westerners are thick and just think that they're thick and that they don't know how to make proper telly.
They're all being silly.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to see it with my own two eyes in its natural habitat.
I don't know, man. I think it's obviously so mainstream. It can't all be self-knowing and parodying. Like, of course you could watch The X Factor or any shows like that and you say, "Oh, those are very camp shows." Just the way it's all the theatrics and how it's, but I wouldn't say it's self-parodying.
Well, no, but that's what I mean. But I think that Japan would make that show and know to be self-parodying about it, but whereas we like to take ourselves very, very seriously. So when Simon Cowell does The X Factor, it is like, no, this is a very serious show, this is a very serious subject matter, we're taking this seriously, even when it is like really overwrought.
Or laughing at people with quite clear learning difficulties.
Oh yeah, no, totally, yeah, exactly, yeah.
So what you should do, and this is what I want to do when I go to Japan next year, go and see one recorded live. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, you've got to get in there, in the audience, for a game show.
Oh.
It looks bonkers. Oh, but one more thing. This weekend, 60th birthday party.
Yeah.
The parents of both sides, the Montagues and the Capulets, will be together.
And they've met each other before.
Once. For my birthday a year ago. A year and a bit ago.
Did they ask you to invite them, or did they just invite them outside of you?
I invited them outside of me.
That's good, man. That's a good sign.
It is good. Yeah, they obviously, they're very, all four of them are very polite people. But Anna's parents, you know, my parents drink a lot and party a lot. Not in a bad way. They just, you know, they'll be the last on the dance floor and singing very loudly, and they won't go home. That's my family. I love them for it. But they, you know, my lady partner's family haven't seen that side of them. They're aware of it. I've warned them. But knowing something in theory and practice is different.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
See how it goes. But, I mean, well, we can very much look forward to hearing the update on that. But my other question is to you, before we get into the main show, is Dyson Airblades.
You son of a bitch. I woke up this morning. And bearing in mind, I don't know how this happened, for the whole week I was away, I only had 20 emails.
You did very well.
From work.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I just assumed it would be over hundreds, just based on the amount I usually get. But I woke up this morning and I had 38 unopened emails overnight. And I was like, what has gone on here? Oh no, I've done something wrong. That's where my mind... Or everything's failed. You know, like all those emails just going to be like, oh yeah, your company doesn't exist anymore. YouTube's closed. So that's what I think when I see warning signs like that. Open it up. Every single subject heading was Dyson Airblade, apart from one that said like an important business proposition. I clicked on it and it was also a link to Dyson Airblade.
Oh, shout out to that person. Do you want to name any names?
Let me get up my emails. Talk for a bit while I...
Well, let's have this from Jem, who emails in to say, hey, Luke, Ollie, El Fakador, Chopper, Pete, SoCal Val, am I forgetting someone? Oh, yes. Hi, Blake Ham, you humble, bragging piece of crap. Definitely not forgetting a Randy person. Firstly, Luke, I would like to appreciate... I would extremely appreciate if this could be read out on the 20th of July Saturday Wrestle Ramble podcast, as the podcast would come out on my birthday.
Hey.
The 21st of July in Melbourne, Australia. So can I get a happy birthday, please?
Congratulations, Feliz Navidad.
Yes.
Bum, bum, bum. Feliz Navidad. Dum, bum, bum, bum. Feliz Navidad. Bum, 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 bum. Feliz Navidad. Bum, 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 bum.
Mazel tov. I am sending in a Restore Get Better. As I promised. I'm sending in this Restore Get Better as a promise to myself, you guys, and the entire SWAF Nation to get better. Muscly arm emoji. I am 15 years old as of this email being read out, and while I am at an ideal height and a decent weight for my age at 6 foot, 183 and 70 plus kg...
I'm at an ideal height. What a great thing to be happy with.
ideal height.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel
it's
like
it's not too big. It's not too small.
I feel like height is a thing that only people who aren't tall enough have an issue with. No one's walking around going, "I'm so tall." Yes. Yes, me.
I don't know. That was Greg Davis's stand-up routine for a good year or so.
That's a good point.
Anyway, where are we? And he's 70 plus kg. I probably have the stamina of a 15-year-old, but I basically have a beer belly even though I can't drink.
Okay.
I want to do something about this as I play football / soccer, which requires a lot of stamina. So from the 21st of July, I will start going out to exercise in the spare time I can find from school and also keep a more healthy diet instead of eating chips every day. I'll be emailing in a couple of months from now with a follow-up where hopefully I'll be in a better physical, and mental shape. Thank you for the consistency that comes with being the best podcast ever. Stay swaft, Jem.
So, Jem. From what I understand, of course it's different for everyone, but largely, if you're only carrying weight on your stomach and it's not through alcohol, it's carbs. So all the carbs will just go to your stomach, especially as a guy. So yeah, cut that down. When you said chips, that's a red flag right there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a white carb. Those are the worst. They're the hardest to break down. So yeah. If you cut down carbs, that should come back.
There you go. It's good exercise. And crunches, like stomach crunches, ab crunches, that would certainly help you as well. Do you want to name some people?
So thank you. Well, not thank you really. To Ed Fries, Stephen Detflitz, Jordan Phillip, Brock Baddy, Thomas Adams, Ryan Penn, Ruben Johnston, Eden Shu, Robert Stanley, Joshua Matthews, Donnie, yada, yada, yada. The first person to email me, by the way, must have been as soon as it happened. 5 past 5 yesterday.
Yeah, I think the podcast went live at about 10 to 5.
Wow. From the mayor of Painesville, Dan. And I got this email, which was a link. And then the brackets just said, "I was forced to send you this link. This is pretty expensive. Have a cold day, Dan." Mayor of Painesville, Dan. Best fan in the world. So it's kind of fitting that he emailed me about a literal fan.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what you had done. So I just emailed Dan back, unbeknowing. "Huh, thanks for this. I literally just bought 2 water evaporating cooler fans. Apparently the Dyson one isn't that great for actually cooling the air. Thanks anyway, though." And then I said to Datsun, I was like, "God, that's amazing. I was just researching Dyson fans because Laurie was going on at me about them this morning. Turns out they're not that good for actually cooling air. They're good for moving around air, but not cooling it. So that's why we need this evaporating." And I started to tell you.
Well, no, it's because as I was leaving the office, I said goodbye to everyone. And you said, "Why am I getting so many emails about the Dyson Airblade?"
Yeah.
And that's when we came clean and we're like, "Yeah, we did a thing on the podcast." When I got home, my wife was like, "You're going to be in so much trouble tomorrow."
It's all good, S-word.
Anyway, let's crack on into the show. And it's the big question on everyone's mind. Does AEW need CM Punk? Here is the show.
What's happening, Luke?
Okay, so I'd say since All In last year, there have been teasers that CM Punk might be doing something with the Young Bucks, right? And the Bucks have always quite openly talked about it. They've obviously talked about CM Punk said that if he wanted to step back into a wrestling ring, they'd be the first person that he calls. They said that we speak to him all the time. They did an interview recently with Chris Van Vliet, where they were talking about how at one point, the three of them, Punk, the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, were sat in a hotel room and had convinced themselves they were going to WWE. But in that interview also said that we expect Pac will be back by the time we go on TV in October. And we have talked to CM Punk. Not about joining, but as you know, we're always in contact with him.
Yeah, they've said that forever, going
that's
back
what I mean,
before
yeah.
All Out. It's they're always texting.
Yeah, All In, it was very much like there was even people who thought that Pac or Punk are going to show up at All In, right? That's what we all kind of like speculated. Turns out no one did. But it's fine. Jericho did, I guess.
Well, there was one, I remember just like 2 days before that, you know, Pac was announced, well, Neville as it was back then, was announced that his contract with WWE was over in late August. Matt Jackson and Marty Scurll posted a video of them just 2 days before All In, looking in a toy shop, and they found the Neville figure.
That's
and they
right,
were like,
yeah.
ooh.
Yeah.
But he didn't turn up.
So So CM Punk has always been sort of like, will he, won't he? He's been very cagey about the whole thing, but has recently been more talking about, hey, never say never in the world of professional wrestling. Never say never about me stepping back into a ring again. And then he had that wrestling return recently. Do you remember this? You might remember this better than I do.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was one of many. So this
but
was...
Silas is Young promotion, right?
Yeah, this was back in April. It was at a venue that was about to be closed down, and it just so happened to be the venue where CM Punk had one of his first matches. So for sentimental reasons, apparently, he ran in at the end of one of the matches in a mask, hit a GTS and ran out. Mm-hmm. A very sloppy-looking GTS.
It was a little bit, yeah.
A very sloppy getting in the ring. But hey, he's had time. But no one thought anything of it. It was only when Silas Young said, oh yeah, it might have been a Punk there. And then it was like obvious. And then more reports, I think Sean Ross Sapp said this, said there were at least two other occasions where he's done this since 2014.
Yeah. So, you know, he stepped back into a wrestling ring. And then we got the announcement on Thursday.
Here's the big one.
That CM Punk will be part of StarCast 3 with a live mic, and he's going to do an interview there. He was at StarCast 1 last year, but that was part of Pro Wrestling Teed. Wasn't really connected to StarCast, just Pro Wrestling Teed also had something on at the same time. This, however, is. This is StarCast. This is Conrad Thompson has booked Punk for an appearance. Don't know if he's doing meet or greets yet, but he is going to do an interview. And the two aren't connected. Obviously, StarCast and AEW are not connected. We do have to make that clear, otherwise Booker T gets very upset and Dave Meltzer gets a lot of flack. So we've got to make it very clear. They're two very different things.
Yes, they are separate companies, but they have a working relationship.
They have only ever run shows together.
Yeah, it's like saying, oh, New Japan and Ring of Honor. Of course they're separate companies. We can all see that. But they work together all the time,
yeah.
Exclusively. No, there are no other conventions also running alongside All In. There are or AEW. There are no other wrestling promotions running with StarCast. So they are linked. This isn't crazy speculation, people.
Well, tell that to Booker T and Conrad, because they got very upset when Dave Meltzer accidentally printed that Booker T had pulled out of All Out when he meant to say he'd pulled out of StarCast. And Conrad was like, we're not connected to AEW. We just happen to run fan conventions on the same weekends that they run their big shows, basically in the same building as them.
Yeah.
He got really upset about it. So, CM Punk confirmed for StarCast. This much we do know. The next night after that is All Out. And this is AEW's big show. Double or Nothing was a huge show for them. This is much, much bigger. This is like our final stop before we get to TV. And the big angle they had to close out Double or Nothing, the one that got everyone talking about it the following day, other than people saying, like, man, that was a really good show, can't wait to see what they do next, was Jon Moxley debuting at the end of the night, attacking Jericho, attacking Omega, setting up Mox versus Omega for All Out. So who's to say, now that they're heading in towards TV in October, that they're not going to bring in a certain Punk to drum up some really big mainstream interest and get people's eyes on the product when it debuts in October?
He is, without a doubt, without question, the only name out there that would matter, really, in terms of people who have left. Because everyone's with a company at the mm-hmm. moment. And see, of all the people who have left WWE, they've all either come back or faded into obscurity. Like, you know, Big Cass and Enzo Amore. They're not really draws. Alberto Del Rio, he's off doing whatever he's doing at the moment. But CM Punk has always maintained this air of mystique and real significance, especially in my eyes. I'm very transparent about this. I love the guy. He's one of my heroes. I'm borderline obsessed with him. No, obsessed with him for 4-5 years when he was on top of WWE.
I was thinking about you while I was making this thumbnail, because I was just getting at this picture of CM Punk and I was like, that is going to be a picture that will just make Ollie Davis smile.
He's a handsome guy.
He is a handsome
dude. The guy
dude.
Can go through any haircut, any form of facial hair,
even when he had that Wolverine mutton chop look. And I was like, oh, I'm not sure about this one, Punk. But he still pulled it off.
One of the sexiest images I've ever seen of a man is CM Punk in only his Y fronts down by the ring, being chased around by Booker T or something, at a house show in a dark match, like after TV segment thing.
Yeah,
I love the guy too much. And we, you know, there's the long running joke of CM Punk to AEW confirmed, CM Punk wrestling return confirmed. It's big, which is a joke at, you know, our expense as well, because we just want him to return. I want him to return.
I was gonna say,
much.
I think the joke very much is on us, because we are the people that are always sort of like doing the thumbnails, doing the teaser. Will he return? Punk tweeted out this. Does this mean a wrestling return? So when we are going like, CM Punk to AEW confirmed, we're very much parodying ourselves, constantly saying these sorts of things. And wrestling media constantly saying these sorts of things. Because as you say, he is a guy that for the last 5 years has had his social media scrutinized, being like, what does this mean? What does this tweet mean? He said the word wrestle. Does that mean he's returning? He's going to be at Ring of Honor because they've got a show this weekend? You know, something along those lines.
About a month ago, he went on a bit of a Twitter rant. I think it was when you were in Peru, actually. You might have missed it. Where he effectively had a go at people for this. He said, look, I want to tweet about movies. I want to tweet about ice hockey. And every time I do that, I'll have a few conversations with people and then boom, everyone floods it. When you're coming back to wrestling, what do you think of AEW? I just want to talk about movies or this. Stop talking to me about wrestling. And I'd feel sympathetic with him.
I do too.
But 2 weeks before that, he posted up like a Snapchat story thing or a Twitter video. I don't know what the social media things are. Of guys, big announcement. I've got the latest star going to AEW. And it was an obscure Smoky Mountain Wrestling mummy character from the 90s. So he does stoke those fires. Last year, he kept on posting All In graphics, which coincidentally was also the Chicago Cubs, his beloved baseball team, their slogan for the year.
Yeah.
But it was also All In, the first prelogue for AEW. So he does bring this upon himself. He doesn't know which one?
Oh, absolutely!
He
yeah,
wants.
No, I feel sympathy for him in all cases, really. Even if when he is sort of stoking the fire, he is very much bringing it upon himself. But then there are times where he's like, oh, I want to talk about this. People want to talk about when he's coming back. Like even when StarCast 3 was announced, and their logo is the Chicago flag, is like the middle third. Everyone was like, oh, this means CM Punk's returning, right? Like, and that it almost feels like it's just that's now the done joke. Mm. But imagine at the end of All Out, CM Punk. You start to hear, you just hear one and 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 then Living Colour plays and Punk does come out in a front of I wouldn't do that bit. I would just do the proper intro. And then you have CM Punk come out the first time in front of a wrestling crowd, like, you know, as CM Punk in Chicago of all places. It's the 8th year anniversary of Money in the Bank 2011. And, you know, those 8th anniversaries are always very important to certain people.
It's the biggest one.
It's the big one, really, I'd say. Because like 5, 8, then 50. Like those are the ones you really want to celebrate. Yeah. So, I don't know, man. But the question we should come to really is, do AEW need CM Punk?
Yes.
Is that an answer to the question? Or is you just saying
it's,
yes?
It's me agreeing that we should talk about the title of the video now.
Yes.
So we did a very similar thing before All In. And we both said back then, they need a Daniel Bryan or a CM Punk. Because Daniel Bryan's contract was still semi-up in the air, even though he'd made his wrestling return.
I think, in fact, you and I might have said on a video, they'll never sell out 10,000 seats unless they have a CM Punk or a Daniel Bryan.
And so happy to be wrong.
Egg on our face, and very happy to have that egg
it's
on my
delicious.
Face. Oh, nom, nom, nom.
But back then I would have said, well, I did say, it's on record, yes, they need a Punk or a Bryan. Now, they are at a very good place and they've got so much traction and they've got a TV deal on TNT and all their pay-per-views while they've had their, you know, difficulties with production issues and the commentary and stuff. The standard is where it should be. Like, you know, the AEW shows, yeah, they've got their flaws. They're not perfect yet, but that's what wrestling should be as a standard.
Mm-hmm.
And then WWE's benchmark is all the way down here. It's not even in the same league table. So that's very good. And they've built this promotion so well without names like Punk. It's really admirable that they've not, you know, not used him or had to rely on it. So, no, AEW doesn't need CM Punk, I would say. But
I was going to say there is a but coming.
It would be excellent.
I'm going to half agree with you, half disagree. I'm going to agree in the sense that no, they don't need him because they've managed to get to this point without names like CM Punk. Really, you could argue that the only big mainstream name they had was Jericho. And then after Double or Nothing, you could add Moxley to that list as well because you've got the former Dean Ambrose in there. So those are your two ex-WWE guys. The rest of them are Omegas, the Bucks, SCU, Lucha Brothers. You know, guys that are known on the indies might not be known to a much wider audience. But I think now, through Double or Nothing, through Fyte Fest, Fight for the Fallen, and just the way they've conducted themselves as a business, they are names that people recognize in the wrestling world now. I'd say since, like, All In last year, I think they really have built themselves a profile so that wrestling fans, regardless if they just watch WWE, know the names of Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks. You know, and that's certainly helped by New Japan and the Ring of Honor stuff that they've did. I'm not going to, you know, certainly not going to take away any of the work that they did there. So I just think that now they are at a point where they have got quite a big profile about them. And with Moxley and Jericho in that mix as well, they could easily go to TV and be absolutely fine, and they will get really good ratings, and they'll have a really good weekly TV product, at least in-ring-wise. You could certainly, as you say, production issues aside, they'll certainly have good in-ring wrestling. But if you were to have CM Punk on that as well, that's the name. And that is the name that would take it from here all the way up to here. So not only are you then like, man, this TV show should do really, really well, then you're like, this is must-see television. Because it is the wrestling return of CM Punk. And that is where I fall on this. I don't think they need him in principle, but if they did have CM Punk, then that is going to be like, that's stratosphere levels.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Yeah. Towards that effect.
So what do you think, if you had to bet, is he, so that, obviously
it's going to be the question on the bonus question for WrestleMania.
Yeah, for forever now. Obviously, I don't think he's going to say at the end of this interview at StarCast, by the way, I'll see you tomorrow, because that just flubs one of the last remaining great wrestling returns you can fantasy book.
Yeah.
Like when Kurt Angle came, I had so many ideas for Kurt Angle, and it was just, oh yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame now. No! But with Punk, you want to do something bigger. So I think in the interview, he might just put a pin in it. It could go one of two ways. I think he might go, look, this is me doing an interview to say once and for all, I'm done with wrestling.
Yeah.
And that part of my life is over now. Of course, that's exactly what someone would say. But I'm worried. That's like my big anxiety. Now it seems to be more possible with all the things that are fitting into place. Now I'm getting anxious that it won't happen. I can't just pretend that it will all the time.
I was going to say the other side of that as well is that people like you and I probably making it worse for fans by even speculating about this sort of thing. Because then if he doesn't show up at All Out, will it be a disappointment of a show because CM Punk didn't return, LOL? The only other point to bring up on this before we jump into the mailbag is a report that Fox are now negotiating with WWE to get NXT onto FS1. And that now looks to be a very, very much a possibility.
That's crazy.
And the reason for this is because AEW were likely going to air on Wednesdays. So FS1 can air NXT as counter-programming to TNT and AEW. And Meltzer had a brilliant way of phrasing this in The Observer, where he said, it's a no-lose situation for WWE. A, they're getting money for NXT, which is something they never do. B, even if they get 10% of AEW's audience, that's 10% of AEW's audience that isn't watching AEW. You're putting that there, not to beat them, not to compete with them, but to siphon away viewers. And you're like, it's kind of crazy, but it's kind of a genius business move in a certain sense, because like NXT is the hardcore wrestling product. AEW is a hardcore wrestling fans product. So having those two going head to head actually is kind of like a brilliant move on WWE's part. But if you had CM Punk, then you're not going to be too worried about NXT running head-to-head with you, are you?
Yeah. Yeah. It's tremendously exciting. I want him back so bad.
I know.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you want to submit a question to the mailbag, all you've got to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers on Patreon at any dollar amount. Head on over to WrestleTalk. No, head on over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk and you'll get involved with Patreon. I was about to plug the almanac there. I was about to say Big Cartel.
It's a great book.
While you're doing that, go to WrestleTalk.BigCartel.com. It's a good book. This question comes in from Austin Tussey. Which real life wrestlers would you pick to be a good fit in CGW? I'd probably go for Orange Cassidy or Joey Ryan.
Oh, those a very good shout, both of them. Particularly, they feel colourful in a way that CGW would. We'll get CG Dub next week.
Yeah,
we've got too big a mailbag.
Unfortunately, yeah, the mailbag was very, very full today. I would go for Chris Brooks. I think it's a good shout because he would be, he'd love it. Like, he would absolutely love like the comedy aspect of it and how crap it is. But obviously, the real answer we're looking for here is CM Punk.
Yes, yeah, CM Punk would be the one to push those ratings into the stratosphere. I think Santino Marella is an excellent comedic performer, so I would also say him.
I can't remember if you were here. I went on a bit of an Orange Cassidy kick.
A very low effort kick.
And I just watched match after match after match. I fell into a bit of a YouTube hole of just watching lots of Orange Cassidy
matches. Easy to do with him.
He's so watchable. Mm. He's great. This comes in from Nate, who says, "Hello, Ollie, Luke, Laurie, Pete, Randy, Andy, and housemate Simon. I finally became a Patreon member to ask you a question. Do any of you listen to Jim Cornette's podcast? He can be very dated in what he believes is good wrestling, but he also is a walking encyclopedia of wrestling knowledge and keeps up with current promotions. He is commonly not a fan of the Young Bucks or Omega and sees their styles as very gimmicky and catered to a gaming-only audience. One of his criticisms got me thinking was their brand of comedy. He doesn't see much of a difference between WWE's hokey S-word and the Librarians and Nakazawa Fighter Fest promos and gaming moves / costumes. He doesn't believe their style of wrestling will age well. What will we say in 20 years when we go back and rewatch the matches from Double or Nothing or Fighter Fest Fight for the Fallen? What is your opinion?" He's got a follow-up question, which we'll get to after you've answered that.
I totally agree with the librarian stuff. It's not funny. It really doesn't work.
It's fallen a bit flat.
Yeah. And it's difficult because the whole crowd wants to love everything and you can see themselves like,
I'm gonna force myself to laugh at this.
It's like watching Will Ferrell movies, late 2010, you know? It's just, I want to like this, man, but it's not funny.
The Step Brothers in that period.
No, that was way before.
Was it? Oh, thank God for that. I was going to say, don't be bad-mouthing Step Brothers, bro.
I watched The House, you see, recently.
Oh, I see. Right.
Patchy.
I like Jason Mendoza, though.
Yeah. Well, him and everything.
Yeah.
More Derek.
But yes, so the Jim Cornette is, like you say, an incredibly smart person. Mm. And he has his particular style of wrestling that he enjoys and what he thinks wrestling should be. I guess the problem with that is that wrestling is much larger than one viewpoint.
Yeah.
And the worst thing you can do is get stuck in your viewpoint, and while the rest of the wrestling industry and art form moves on.
Exactly.
And, you know, like, in 20 years' time, it might move back to that style that Jim Cornette likes. So there's no flexibility there in his rigid opinion, and I think that's what draws him up. It is a gimmick, really, but he does also believe it. He's a very nice guy. He's so witty. I've had the pleasure of meeting him a few times and working with him. And he's so funny and, yeah, like you said, smart. But his view of wrestling is too rigid, I think. Yeah.
I think it's also kind of unfair to say, like, what we're going to think of these matches in 20 years' time, because, like, the times move so quickly now. Like, you could go back and watch a movie from 20 years ago and you'll be like, man, that's dated poorly. Mm. Or, like, you know, CGI in movies in 2001 was like, I remember going to see some of those movies and be like, my God, this is like the greatest thing ever. The movies will never surpass this. But if you go back and watch them now, you're like, man alive, this CGI is quite bad.
I mean, I tell you where it Cornette will probably fall down there is because if you go back and watch old wrestling matches, it's the ones that were very athletic and very high spot filled for their time that don't feel as dated as the slow, more methodical, thought-out style that Cornette prefers.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you go back and watch Dynamite Kid, Tiger Mask, like, it's boom, boom, boom. That feels like that could take place today. And it would be, like, a pretty good 205 Live match.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, 205 Live matches are better than that match now, really.
Yeah.
If you put them up side by side, of course, one was 30 years before the other.
Well, that's it, yeah. You know, Hogan Andre at WrestleMania 3, for its time, was probably an excellent wrestling match. Mm-hmm. But to go back and watch it now, it is two giant men lumbering around a ring. And it's actually, this was talked about on How To Wrestling in one of their very early episodes when they did How To Hogan, where Joe watched it for the first time and she said, it's the sort of wrestling that made me not want to be a wrestling fan. Like, when I picture wrestling, that's what I pictured, was two men slowly moving around a ring, not really doing anything, and then you do a finish. Whereas, like, but now wrestling's completely different. So, yeah, I don't think it's fair to kind of compare things, like, to compare Hogan Andre to, you know, the Young Bucks versus the Lucha Brothers. Also, thank you very much for my cup of milk with some tea in it.
Oh, come on. Look, I'm just going to stop giving you milk in anything. Nothing makes you happy.
No, it does. It's just
doing like a pipette of milk. And you're like, there's so much milk in here.
A dash of milk is what you want. Also follows up saying, have you seen the DDP yoga video with Big Cass talking about his anxiety and depression? Props to him for admitting he had issues, was in the wrong, and got help. Hopefully he can distance himself from Enzo.
Mm, yeah. I haven't seen it, but I've read some of the things. And
so
yeah,
is he actually like distancing himself from Enzo? They're not doing their Enzo and Kaz XL.
Well, I don't know about that. I think Nate is just saying,
oh, like, hopefully he can.
Yeah, hopefully he can, because Enzo doesn't seem to have had that same period of self-reflection.
No.
I
had terrible fights with Joey Janela.
Did you read that Moxley specifically requested to work with Cass on a show?
I did not.
So, yeah, Cass is obviously, that there's a very good part to Cass, and unfortunately at the end of his WWE run, his personal demons sort of undid him there. So hopefully he does better.
Dizziest Bloke Going Today says, which wrestling podcast would you say is underrated? For me, it's Primetime with Sean Mooney. I'm getting into Sean's content.
I haven't listened to that. I only listen really regularly to the Wrestling Observer Radio. And I would say that's underrated, because it's so good.
It is good.
I take Dave Meltzer for granted so much, but he's like, his knowledge, his passion, his just tenure of covering one specific area is astounding.
It really is, yeah. I mean, I know that you say that the AE podcast is underrated, because I think it gets, you know, a lot of plaudits, and correctly so. But I'm going to give a shout out to the Married Marks podcast. I really enjoyed their work, Going in Raw.
Going and Raw.
Steve got an excellent, excellent podcast, the two of them. Yeah, I mean, there's some really, really good wrestling podcasts out there.
If there's a really good pay-per-view, and you know, like those days where like, you just can't get enough of opinions on the thing you just saw, I will, that's when I go to Going and Raw.
Tom Dell says, "Hi, Chopper Pete and the team. Do you think that Becky and Seth's stories being so do you think that with Becky and Seth's stories being so entwined now, we're going to get Becky, somehow in a babyface way, going after Sable, giving Brock an ultimatum, put the title on the line, even better his career, or Sable is going to get it?"
I mean, don't put anything past this company that booked Becky the way they did earlier this year. So, yeah, I can see that happening. I think it's an awful idea, though, unfortunately.
Abhinav says, "Hey, Luke, Pete, Laurie, Simon, Ollie, SoCal Val, and name retracted. We were all hoping to see Sasha Banks at Extreme Rules, but it didn't happen. Looking at her social media, it's more or less clear that she's not coming back. Now, as Bayley needs a friend for her story to continue, what about Dakota Kai? Both of them can be ponytail sisters as a tag team. They have to be more or less the same person. They may not be bad as a tag team. What do you guys think? But deep down, all of us know the only person that can save Bayley is Sting, the Huggable Scorpion tag team. Lots of love. Laurie's number one fan, Abhinav."
So two things there. Were we all waiting for Sasha Banks to return on Extreme Rules?
Okay, so you weren't here for this. On the SmackDown before Extreme Rules, and actually the Raw as well, they were heavily hinting that the reason why Bayley is going to struggle is because she doesn't have a friend in her corner. All of Nikki Cross's promos were, "You had a friend, but that friend is not here anymore. And you don't have a friend to back you up, and that's why you're going to lose." And commentary kept saying, "She did have a friend. They were the tag team champions, but we haven't seen her in months."
Well, they never said Sasha.
They never said Sasha's name.
They just said her.
They kept saying that she had a friend. They were the tag team champions. We haven't seen her in months. And it was very much. And it came out around this time that there was a report that, yes, Sasha is expected to be there on Sunday. So, yes, we were almost expecting Sasha to be there.
Ah, yeah. So, yeah, I guess it's we were all hoping to see Sasha Banks rather than expecting.
Yes.
I don't want to see Sasha Banks back in WWE. I want to see her in AEW. And also, no, Bayley doesn't need a friend.
No, and she doesn't need a friend because the story's moved on now. We've moved past this. She needs a friend storyline.
None of the women's division need friends. That's one of the worst things about how WWE book that division. So everyone's got to be friends with someone or they're bitching against something.
Matt Edmonds says, "After having the privilege of attending both Fighter Fest and Fight for the Fallen, it is obvious to me that no one has gained more star power than Darby Allin. After seeing him for the first time at Fighter Fest, I did. I realize how over he was with me until Fight for the Fallen, and judging by the reaction he got from the live crowd, I'd say I'm not alone. Do you see Darby as a potential main event babyface in AEW? Also, which do you prefer more, Fighter Fest or Fight for the Fallen? Being there live at both events, I'd say I had more fun at Fight for the Fallen, but both were excellent shows." I still haven't seen Fight for the Fallen yet.
Yeah, I haven't either. I was on holiday. I haven't had a chance to catch up. But Darby... I was away
that weekend.
I thought Darby Allin... is that match with Cody was brilliant.
Yeah, it was a star-making
match. Really,
really
enjoyed it. And yeah, we'd seen him at Progress earlier in the year, Darby Allin, and he was insane there. I just keep on thinking about that insane trustful back bump he took on the ring apron.
Thing, yeah.
Incredible. I mean, I look at him now, I don't see a potential main eventer ever. But that's not to say that can't happen and he, you know, Kofi Kingston is the WWE champion right now. These things can happen. But at the moment, I just see him as sort of a very, very good mid-carder.
Yeah.
Just because the guy is very, very small.
But there is always time.
Yeah.
There's and always I know, time to build.
Yeah, and not to say that small, if you're shorter, you can't become really over in the main event spot. But it is a lot harder, especially because he's not just short. He's very thin.
I think he can certainly get in there with main eventers, but I don't think it's going to be something that happens in the next few months. I think it's going to be something that you build over the next couple of years and really build like a cult following behind him before you push him into that sort of main event spot. Chris Thorne says, "Will WrestleTalk ever have a shake-up for the Rambles? I've enjoyed the different pairings." Glad someone did. "While some of you lads have been on holiday, but I'm glad to get you originals back. Maybe every now and again it could be shaken up. Also, why isn't Pete in the Patreon banner with you guys? #PushChopperPete.
Because we made that, we should probably update the Patreon banner.
Well, we were also going to update the YouTube banner as well, but I figured that we would wait until we were doing all of them at once rather than do it. So when we do one, we'll do all of them.
Yeah, I still need to book this photo shoot that I want to get us all on. The Rambles, I personally, the podcasts I listen to, I prefer it when it's always the same people. So, and from everything I've researched, I think that's what the audience want as well. So we will only ever shake up when we have to for scheduling reasons. Otherwise, we'll stick to the norms.
Absolutely, I will agree with that. I do have another comment here, but I don't think I put down your name, so I'm going to come back to that one. But I'll do Scott's message first. But it said, it could be worse. If Bischoff was in charge of Raw, he probably would have had Lesnar drop the belt to Hogan now at the reunion show. In all seriousness, I hope you agree with me that Seth and Kofi have suffered from a lack of a big-name feud. Unfortunately, because of the recent 50-50 booking history, there really are no dominant heels to put in these spots. At this point, I feel like you could only concoct a mid-card feud, no matter how big it appears on paper. Kofi Randy could generate heat, but outside of Triple H putting him over at Saudi Super Bad Blood Money in the showdown, it's not like he's been built as anything dominant in recent times. Joe should feel like a big feud, but all he does is lose title matches, hopefully leading into new era version 164.5 or whatever it is. Character development improves. There is at least some hope with the recent reformation of the club. AJ can generate the heel heat that is missing. Maybe with the Planeteers dropping the tag belts, we can get Brian back into the picture with Kofi because he's so damn good. That said, I wasn't disappointed in any of the shows this weekend. They were all very fun to watch, obviously referring to Fight Fest, Evolve, and Extreme Rules. This is the first time I got to see Evolve. They're going to be here in Michigan in August, and it convinced me to check it out. So maybe I'll give you guys a first-person review come that time. Take care, and thanks again for all the amazing content. I may need to start a support group for my Wrestle Ramble extra addiction. I don't think there was a question in there, Scott, but it's a good mailbag nonetheless.
Yeah, it was have Seth and Kofi. Oh, yeah, he just said he agrees. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with us.
I agree with us as well. Where do we get to? Dwayne Cooley says, hello, Swaft Nation and Wrestling Talk. This hit me before I watched Fight for the Fallen on Sunday. I'm a fan of Cody and know how good he is, but I seem to struggle to get truly invested in his matches. For instance, his match with Dustin at Double or Nothing and the Bucks at Fight for the Fallen, and even his matches with Omega were a bit too slow and hard for me to get into. While his match with Darby Allin I enjoyed more than those other two combined, is it the story of the match I'm missing, or is Cody's wrestling overrated? What do you guys find the appeal of a Cody match to be? P.S. He does add, P.S. I am a fan of Cody Rhodes. Just want to reiterate that.
I love that bit at the end. But I don't see the appeal of him wrestling.
I find his matches very boring.
Huge fan. For me, Cody Rhodes in WWE, he was always, there was something about him. Like, he was always the guy that I wanted to be pushed more. But then when he left and he did his amazing work rate around the independent scene, he was, because he was just brought up through that WWE system, really. He never, he did seem out of place initially, I felt.
Yes.
Beyond, like, he had the work rate down in terms of just doing show after show after show after show. But he had a different style to what was getting everyone else over.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was sort of wrestling the WWE style, but he's learned and he's modified it. And what I think he's come out as now, through that sort of Ring of Honor period, where he was a fantastic world champion, he's a guy who's very good at presenting himself with the blonde hair, the suits, Brandy, the dog. Is it Ghost, the dog?
Pharaoh.
It's just a really good way of packaging himself. But I think he's leveled up so much in ring wrestling. And when I watched that Darby Allin match and the Dusty match.
Dustin, sorry.
Two of my favourite matches. Like, he's had my favourite match of the first two AEW shows, which I never thought I'd say, is because he does slow it down. And he is wrestling an 80s style match, all based around psychology and storytelling, in 2019, with a bit of a modern twang. I love it. And I love it even more because it's so different to the wrestling on the rest of the card, which is a lot more high-paced, spot-filled stuff.
That I completely agree with you. And I think that's the appeal of a Cody match to me, is that his wrestling style is different to everyone else's on an AEW show. And I really like that. And I've been on record saying this, going into Double or Nothing, him versus Dustin was not a match I was particularly enthused by. I love both guys, but I'm like, yeah, you know, there are matches on this card that I'm more looking forward to. Young Bucks versus Lucha Brothers, Omega Jericho, for example. But actually, it was the best. It was my favorite match of the night. It was unbelievably good. It was so great. If that is not in the top 10 matches of the year, I will be stunned. Mm. I'll be absolutely stunned. So, yeah, I think it is just, it's a very different style to everyone else that's on the card.
In terms of emotional moments, I don't think anything will top it.
No.
Like Kofi's title win at WrestleMania, that was really great and cathartic. But, man, the Cody and Dustin, I really felt... The only thing I'd say against Cody is just commit to being either a heel or a face.
Yeah.
And Brandy's got that problem as well.
Brandy's had a lot of issues with that.
Yeah. So I just, that's the only thing that jars with me, and it does take me out of the matches. I'm like, choose one, man.
Because he very much seems to be positioned as the baby face in the moment against Sean Spears, who very much is their heel after the, you know, he's calling himself the chairman now after that chair shot heard around the world. The interview he did with JR on Road to All Out was great. Really, really good.
Where he unveils Tully Blanchard.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
As his manager.
The bit that I missed actually was from Chris's original point where he just said, I'm a new Patreon member. You guys helped me through quite a dark time while I was unemployed, and I'm finally in the position to donate to you guys now. I'm loving all the extra content on here as well. Very worth it for nearly £5.
Oh, thank you.
Because it's $5. So that was Dwayne's question. Martin says, do you think Vince is ultimately unsatisfied with NXT?
Doesn't watch it.
Let me explain. NXT is ultimately still a developmental brand for WWE. Therefore, it stands to reason that the top guys in NXT should be expected to transition into the main event of Raw and SmackDown. Or should it be expected to transition into the main event of Raw and SmackDown? However, since 2012, only three former NXT champions have either won the WWE or Universal Championship. As NXT is catering for a different audience, is Vince frustrated with the talent coming through? And perhaps this is the real reason why he didn't... why Triple H didn't get an executive director job.
No. I don't think he really cares about NXT.
No,
and he repackages. If he would keep the characters as they are, as opposed to just completely butchering them on the main roster. If he thought that way about NXT, so I don't think that the reason I don't think Triple H has been put in one of these roles is just because it's. It's more of a political move. If Triple H is going to take over the running of the company, and if Vince is thinking of stepping aside for the XFL stuff, just don't put him in now where ratings are still on the down slope and all that.
I completely agree with you. Also, I think if you were to put Triple H in one of these executive director spots, when Vince then steps aside, if Vince steps aside for the XFL, then you're just going to have to find someone else to replace the role that Triple H is vacated so he can go and take on Vince's role. So I think it's a political move more than anything. Marco Talens says, who has the most punchable face in professional wrestling today? My vote goes to MJF, but a smug Prince Pretty is pretty good too.
The Miz, always the Miz.
Yeah.
Even as a baby face, the Miz, he's just got this fantastic punchable face.
My answer is Adam Pacitti. Corey Haynes says, hey Ollie, Luke, Laurie, housemate Simon, Chopper Pete, SoCal Val, Blake Ham, you piece of S, and nope, that's it. Longtime fan and recent $10 backer, been listening to you guys since 2017, both YouTube and podcast. Love everything you put out and have a lot of similar interests other than just watching wrestling, such as board games and RPGs. I have three questions. My first question is, being that SoCal Val is a wrestling fan too, why don't we see her on the Wrestle Ramble?
Just scheduling wise.
She's
only in for a few bits here and there.
Yeah.
And
not when we're recording these. My second question is, will there come a point where Screen Stalker gets a podcast similar to the Wrestle Ramble but for movies and games?
That is the hope. Eventually, that was one of the first plans and it all launched and we're like, oh my God, we've got no time to do that.
Yeah.
So rather than launch it and then drop it every couple of weeks, we're just going to wait until we've got a few more people and then we can do that.
And my third question is directed more towards Laurie, Luke, and Pete. Being a D&D and RPG fan myself, I'm curious to know if you guys have ever listened to an awesome D&D podcast called The Adventure Zone. If so, what do you guys think? I strongly suggest listening to it. It takes 2 to 3 arcs to really pick up, but they really focus on strong storytelling and put a lot of effort into emotions. Hope this wasn't too long. Love the work you guys do. Keep it up. No, I've not listened to that. I was a Dragon Friends podcast listener for a little while because they were very much like, they were a comedy podcast. And I very much enjoyed the comedy aspect of playing D&D.
It was funny.
And they also had, like, it was one of the guys that was from the Axis of Awesome. So it was very music inspired as well. So they had, like, guy on stage playing music to, like, kind of, like, tell the adventure of the story. And that added a lot to it for me. But I've heard the Critical Role is very good. I just don't have time to listen to 6-hour-long podcasts. I've got too many podcasts as it is.
That's a breakthrough that you've just admitted that.
That I have too many podcasts. Yeah. To. Well, it's because I was looking at my list and I was like, I've got a Talking Simpsons Patreon podcast of them reviewing Tiny Toons straight to video movie. And yeah, it's like 4 hours long and I haven't got around to finishing it yet. Tom Dell says, hey, Chopper Pete, Laurie, Luke, Simon, Ollie, Randy, Andy, SoCal Val, Grado, Joe Hendry, still holding out for their returns, and you piece of crap, Blake Ham. Tomo, because I bet he's probably Tomo. Watching, and the cool Scandinavian dude that invented the fishmonger and taught you how to say Walter. Anyway, on to the question. Two of the best TV matches I can remember in recent history are Seth Rollins and Kofi Kingston Gauntlet matches. They went for the majority of the show they were on, and although we already know Seth and Kofi were great, this seemingly pushed them to an even higher level. It left everyone talking about how great they were, and fans got right behind them as the next big champs. With that being said, should the new format of Raw and SmackDown start to have gauntlet matches? That way there won't be any resting in the ad breaks, and they can show off superstars they're trying to build for an extended period of time.
No, it's not hard to structure a wrestling show around ad breaks and not have the ad breaks interrupt the wrestling.
It's so difficult.
You don't need to...
You don't understand, Ollie. It's harder than you think.
Stipulations should really only be used when there is a storyline reason for them. And that could be because the title or championship they're fighting for or number one contendership or something with stakes dictates it, or it is an element of a personal feud between two people. Not to justify when to say Raw rolls on after this.
Yeah. Conor Kieran says, now I know you don't have a lot of time or people to do so, but I think you should check out 205 Live on a semi-regular basis. It has the best and consistent storytelling across the entire WWE product, even more so than NXT, ooh, as they don't have nearly as many people or championships. They focus on what they do well. No ad breaks, just two solid wrestling matches a week.
Well, I watched a bit of the Chad Gable-Jack Gallagher match from this week, and it was great.
Yeah, but I a lot of people said that I needed to check out the Drake Maverick-Mike Kanellis segment, but dude, they're jokes. Like, it's hard to, like, sit there and take them seriously when one of them was beaten in less than a minute by Zack Ryder and the other one was being pinned in his pants in a hotel room because he was going to prematurely ejaculate in front of his wife. Like, it's then for them to stand in a wrestling ring and be like, take us seriously now. I'm like, I don't think I can.
Yeah.
This is very hard for me to take you seriously.
That horse has bolted, my friend.
James J. Dillon says, now that Bray is back with a new character, I think he should ditch the Sister Abigail as a finisher. What do you guys think would be a more fitting move to match the Fiend's character? I like Sister Abigail.
I still like Sister Abigail. It's still
over.
Part of the character,
yeah,
because she was in the Firefly Funhouse segments.
And it's over as his finishing move as well. There was someone in our Raw review that said that Undertaker should give him the tombstone. But I don't think he needs the tombstone. I think that he's got a good finisher as is.
I would like him to have another move, though.
Oh, not saying he can't have another move, but yeah, I don't think you should get rid of that. Do you want to wrap this up, or do you want another one?
Let's have two more.
Two more. Hashtag TeamLOL says, with the Raw reunion coming up soon, do you think any legends will win the 24/7 title? If so, who? I think we joked about this, saying the Million Dollar Man has got to be one of them.
Farouk might not win it, but he will definitely react to a title change.
And what will he say when he sees it?
Good grief. Good grief.
Clam. And Phil Stopford says, if Mark Jindrak was the fourth member of Evolution, would we now have Dave Bautista as Drax? Jindrak was going to replace Orton, or Orton replaced Jindrak as well. So Bautista would have still been in Evolution. So we would have still got the career progression.
In your face, Phil Stopford, you don't know what you're talking about.
I'm pretty sure that's the case anyway.
Oh, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Well, we can answer the question anyway and pretend. So the interesting thing about Bautista is that he did work his way through the ranks. He had a little bit of a head start, but he started off in straight DVD stuff.
He did it as a favour to Rob Van Dam. That was the interview that he gave shortly after that film came out. The Wrong Side of Town, I believe it's called, where RVD's the lead star.
Hells of the Rising Sun as well.
Yeah, which he did after that, yeah. I think. But I think Wrong Side of Town is the one where RVD's the lead star, but Dave Bautista's the one that's front and centre of all the marketing materials. And he said that he did it as a favour to Rob, and it was on that film he got the acting bug, and he wanted to do more of these types of films and sort of build his way up. On the subject of AEW, which obviously, you know, is the big talking point of this podcast, got to give a shout out to the Jon Moxley, Tomohiro Ishii match from the G1, which was not only one of the best matches of the tournament thus far that I've seen, probably will end up being one of the best matches of the year.
Whoa.
It is easily Moxley's best match since leaving WWE. It was terrific.
I presume you finished it.
I did.
Yeah, because I only watched half of it with you live, and then I had to watch Invasion 2001.
Oh, you lucky bastard.
Which was a come down. It's crap.
Spoiler for Russell Ramble.
Yeah, we'll record in that later. But the... Yeah, just the start of that match, they just started shoving each other. That, from what I saw, it's two men pushing each other aggressively.
Yeah.
For most of it.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Tomohiro does a high spot that is very out of character for him, and the crowd go bonkers for it because it's so out of character for him. Kevin Kelly can't believe his eyes. Cannot believe his eyes. It's terrific. Go out of your way to go see that match. It's so, so good. And I've also heard, shockingly, Kota Ibushi versus Will Ospreay was very good as well.
Oh, I know. That's unexpected.
I'm struggling to believe that as well. But apparently, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm sure they left all their necks in the ring.
Yeah. And if you want some other G1 shout-outs, I'm going to give Ishii versus Jeff Cobb.
You're just going to run down Ishii's match list.
Oh, no. Kenta versus Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Ooh, yum, 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 yum.
And Tetsuya Naito versus Toriano.
Oh, for the lols.
Very much for the lols. Dave Meltzer did not like it at all. I thought it was terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my quick G1 wrap-up. People say, like, why don't you do G1 wrap-ups? So there you go. Done it, man.
Yeah, we should. Yeah. So much on.
We haven't got time. Do we want to actually plug what we're doing on Monday?
Oh, yeah. Go on, then.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. So ScreenStalker, if you are a follower of ScreenStalker, and if not, why not? You will have seen that on a Friday, we do more of like a magazine-style show where we sort of do various different segments. And it's a lot of fun. It's a bit like this podcast, really. And that is now going to become the new standard for ScreenStalker on a daily basis.
Yeah, so rather than like, here's a movie video, here's the gaming daily, it's all going to be one mishmash because we realized, hey, this channel's more about stuff we like. So just put all the stuff in one video a day. It's easier for people to find.
Yeah.
And for my money, is one of the best things we make now.
Yeah. I'd certainly say so.
Because the Wrestle Ramble, we just talk. It's two guys talking and we film that. Pretty low effort. That's pretty Orange Cassidy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it is the Orange Cassidy of our output, yeah.
But that's what makes it so great, and we love talking to each other and to all of you as well. But the ScreenStalker new show as a video series is actually really well put together.
It's really well done. Yeah, it's really good.
And I laugh a lot at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
watched that
because you were away. You got to see last week's episode where we played Cuphead and I played Spider-Man on the Mega Drive and things like that. We thought it was quite... We watched it. We had like a bit of a premiere party when Martin had finished it and we sort of sat around to watch it. And it was genuinely, we were at the end of it, we were like, God, that was really good, actually.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of that video. That's come out really well.
Yeah, the Cuphead stuff was really funny.
Yeah.
It's very hard for you to play. Also, Pete playing Mario Maker and the week previously was very good.
And if you haven't seen yesterday's one, Steve from Going in Raw features in there, and it's us playing 2K19 with him. And it's so good. It's hilarious watching him play the game.
Yeah.
And we've got more of that coming next week as well.
And me and Laurie ran through a few of the Comic-Con trailers that have been released. I hadn't seen the Cats one.
Mm.
I was told not to watch it because we watched it. We did a live reactions of me watching it. And oh boy, it got fruity. I had the opposite reaction to what Laurie was expecting.
Yeah.
He thought I was going to crap on it, but I just ended up very, very aroused. I brought
Taylor
up Judy Hopps. Oh, of course, Judy Hopps. I didn't know this passion extended to Taylor Swift as a cat.
Oh, mate.
Oof, what's wrong with me?
But anyway, on Monday...
Oh, yeah.
On Monday, the episode is going to be presented by you and I. It's going to be presented by me and Ollie. Mm. Breaking down all the news from Comic-Con, because we're expecting MCU Phase 4 plans to be revealed. The trailer for Wonder Woman 84 will likely be released. And I'm going to do a nerd-out section for the trailer for Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. So look forward to all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, also, I thank you to everyone who has sent me Lad Bible posted an article today that said that The Dark Knight is officially the greatest comic book movie ever made. Thank you to all of those. I read the article. There is absolutely no mention of it being officially the greatest one. It's just that it's the 8-year anniversary of it and people still like it. That is the crux of that article. It's just that on the anniversary of the movie, people still say that it's good. So... bollocks to saying it's officially, because nothing is official about the article.
It's official. People still like this movie.
Exactly, yeah. That is what the headline is. It's official. People still like The Dark Knight.
That's official.
It is, but that's not what, what the headline says.
You know, what was the actual title then?
The headline was, Dark Knight is officially the greatest comic book movie ever made.
So that should be, Dark Knight is anecdotally the best comic book movie ever made.
Oh, I'm going to steal that. It's good. Yeah. I'm going to reply because someone's just tweeted it to me again, so I'm going to reply with that. But anyway, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back on this show on Tuesday with the Raw review.
Oh, yeah.
But head on over to Screen Stalker and get involved with that. It's going to be really fun. We're really looking forward to it. And as we say in the show, once we can kind of like build that audience, we can do more podcasts. We can do a full movie podcast, which is what we really want to be doing.
Yeah, me and Luke just doing this. But with the movies.
Instead.
Where I can talk about You'll Always Be My Maybe.
Yes, because you watched it on the plane.
The Netflix comedy. Yeah. It was very funny.
Also, Queer Eye's out today as well.
Oh,
so,
yeah!
And I've downloaded all the episodes because I'm on a train to Hastings. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.